Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Aurora Grandy. This is our council meeting, and it is Tuesday, October the 28th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Councilmember Costello?
Here.
Councilmember Brown is absent tonight. Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Here. Item 3 is our flag salute, and we're very pleased to have Girl Scout Troop 41071 here this evening. And ladies, you're going to lead us in the flag salute. If you would all please remain standing after the flag salute. Pastor David Bergeson is here from First United Methodist Church to do our invocation. So, ladies, whenever you're ready.
Let us pray. Dear and wise and loving God, we thank you for the many abundant blessings that you give to us. Thank you for life itself, the measure of health we need to fulfill our callings. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities. We also thank you as well for the freedom to embrace you or the freedom to reject you. Thank you for loving us even so. So, Lord, we come.
Pastor, thank you. Much appreciated. Okay, do we have the handheld mic, Kelly? Ladies, if you could come up, please. And did anybody explain to you how this works? If you do our flag salute, we get to hear about your Girl Scout troop and all of the exciting things you've been doing. So you ready to tell us? And we got a microphone right there for you, and you can just face the audience. We think we have a handheld mic for you. There we go. Got to hold it up really close so we can hear you.
Potato, no.
Okay, who wants to go first?
Tell us what's going on.
Okay, well, just start off and let us know what are some of the fun things you've been doing.
Well, last year we went to VQ Ranch, a place where there's zip lining. And there's a pool, and we got to stay overnight there, and we got to do obstacle courses, fire camp. We got to go to lots of fun things.
Okay, who else? Come on, there's got to be some other exciting things.
And we're trying to earn our bronze world award right now, and with our journey.
We've been throwing cookies from fun places that we really want to sell cookies.
Okay, very good. Okay, is that it? Nothing else? Anybody want to add anything?
Selling cookies in January?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight, and will you come back and do our flag salute again for us? Please? Okay. All right. Thanks so much. Okay, moving on to item 5, agenda review. 5A is closed session announcements. The council did meet in closed session on October 14th. We discussed legal issues, and we also discussed a public employment issue. The council has took no reportable action. Item 5B, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6 is special presentations, and we do have one this evening. The Economic Vitality Corporation is here. Mike Manchuk is here. And Mike, would you please come up, and we're anxious to hear what you have to say.
Hello, members of... Good evening, members of the council. Mike Manchuk with the Economic Vitality Corporation. You have a full house tonight, so I'll be brief. I wanted to come and give an update on the EBC, the local economy, with a countywide perspective. For those, I'll jump right into it. For those not familiar with the EBC, we're a countywide nonprofit organization that basically helps businesses start and expand. We provide the resources necessary to really help diversify the local economy, and doing it for 20 years now. Some of the resources we offer, many of these you know already, but I've listed them for those that are watching perhaps or listening for the first time. These are resources that we either partner with others and or we provide on an exclusive basis. Much of this is also about not just providing resources, but it's also about providing some analysis of the local economy. So in other words, what are things necessary to help our communities thrive that are either missing or need to be changed? From a business perspective, our website, since it's a bit of an eye chart, but our board members. These are board members that are elected officials and business leaders throughout the entire county, and it represents every single industry in the county. So going back to education and government. But if you look at the major employers, you've got 66%, which are private sector. You also have government sector at 19%, which is much, much higher than the rest of the state of California. You also have, which one more point on this, you have a community of a county of many, many small businesses. In fact, if you look at that number, 56% or one to four employees, that's much, much smaller than the rest of the state of California. Therein lies the need for more resources to help people start businesses and expand them. But if you look at the county's economy and you take away the recession, so whether or not we're in a recession, these are some fundamental challenges that we face in our economy that that I think need some work. There are things that help that we could help, I think, with in cooperation with the business community to really help people find more jobs, people finding higher paying jobs, and ultimately lowering the cost of doing business locally. We then decided we're going to do a very deep analysis of the local economy. We did that. The data is available on our website. It's things that we didn't even know existed in this county. Ultimately, with that, we painted a picture of the county's economy. And if you look at this chart, and you only looked at one page on this economic strategy, if you look at that blue bubble to the right top, what that means is this. This picture of the county's economy is such that if you're up in the right top quadrant of this chart, you're doing really well. You're growing, you're hiring people, and you're much greater per capita than the rest of the state of California. If you're down here, you're not growing. So we ultimately looked at leaders in the business community, developed a strategy to how we could help them hire more people, create jobs, and create more vibrant communities. With this public-private partnership, we focused on six sectors. There they are. It's these sectors that have grown the most amount of jobs over the last 10 or 15 years. And with that, we've accomplished many things in the last 4 years since this was launched. And these are very significant things that have never been tackled before, things that we believe are making a huge difference, things that people with businesses in the city of Rio Grande and the community itself could benefit from. And these are also things that, we think take a very long-term approach, are not about the recession. And it's not about elections. This is about the, local economy and how well it operates and how thriving it is. So kind of near the tail end of my presentation, I said I'd be brief, and I will be. One of the areas of resources around the county for which we pay a lot of attention to and we think needs more attention is the airport. The airport touches every one of us, even if you don't fly. The airport touches especially the local businesses. In a county's economy that relies much upon tourism, the airport is as much, if not more, of a resource to the businesses in this county that actually create jobs and pay taxes and ultimately help the rest of us live in a thriving community. But with this, there are some shockers. The shocker is not that our airport's doing well relative to others. The shock is that there are communities throughout the West, and here they are, that are losing some or all of their service. And there is not an airport in the West, if not the nation, that are regional airports, meaning smaller airports, for which could lose any and all service. Our airport, we think, is in a better position in this county, but it doesn't mean that we're not immune to this. So ultimately what this means is this, is if we're reaching out to the community, we're asking the 49% of the people that don't use our airport, those are the people that get into a car, and we've all done it, and drive several counties away to use another airport. If we continue to do that, we run the risk of being on this list. And ultimately, we are looking at two new things, possibly. The flight to Denver, which we've been working at very hard for a long time, Seattle, as well as Sacramento. This is ultimately, I think, would help the communities and the airport itself. And we have other things that we're working on, too. Many know that we have in this county more fiber optic cables that run across the Pacific than any place in North America. One of them is in Grover Beach, and the other is in Morro Bay. There's very little economic benefit that comes from these cables to our county's economy. We want to change that. We want to gain some benefit, create some jobs out of this. And we have since gotten a grant from the state, actually, that is helping the EBC and its partners to evaluate broadband throughout the county. This county actually has much less broadband than many other places, and we want to fix that. You can't look to attract and grow, let's say, technology businesses that rely upon broadband. You can't expect those to thrive here without the proper broadband. So there are many broadband providers. We want to fill in the places where there isn't. So with that, kind of a closing here, we have some economic opportunities, we think, in the county's economy. We have more broadband, which we think could create the kinds of business. You see, knowing that, created this network of these organizations, some in and some out of the county, that ultimately are providing some of the resources to help people start businesses. You know, here we're really looking after the little guy. The little guy who can't go to the bank and just get the loan he or she needs to start a business. But some of this has created good publicity for the county and its economy, and we're proud of that. We do think it's a good place to work, live, and play, but we think there's some work that's needed. We're working on a state level on policy. And ultimately, as this diagram shows, if we have a healthy business community, we have a healthy community, and they go hand in hand. We have a growing membership that we think are very proud of what we do, and we're pleased and actually very grateful for the support that the city provides us. So with that, I'll stop. I think I'm on the dot, 10 minutes. I'll take any questions you might have, but I do think that we're in an improving place in our local economy, but there's some infrastructure issues, I think, that we really need to work on, and we continue to.
Okay, thank you. Mike, questions for Mike? All right, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. Very enlightening.
You're most welcome.
You guys always do good work, so.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Take care. Once again, for the folks who came in a little late, we are using speaker slips this evening. So if you would please put your name on the speaker slip and the agenda item that you would like to speak to. All right, we're going to move on to item 7, community comments and suggestions. And I want to kind of dial back to our last meeting. We went over the ground rules for the meeting at the last time we were together. The meeting went very well, thanks to the cooperation of all of you. It would be nice if we could have a repeat session and just to refresh your memory. This is the way it's going to work. We are going to have the three-minute rule in effect this evening. We have a lot of speaker slips here. And what I will do is give you kind of the high sign a few seconds before your 3 minutes are up. We would expect you to wrap up quickly and step away from the podium. If that does not happen, and I'm certain that it will, but in case it doesn't, then your microphone will be turned down. And we do have the sheriff here this evening. We do have our own law enforcement, our PD here as well. You'll be asked to step to your seat. If there is a major disruption, and once again, I'm hopeful that that doesn't happen, but historically it has, and if that happens, then I will recess the meeting, and once again, that person will be escorted from the chambers. So those are the ground rules for community comments and suggestions, and we're going to go ahead and get started. And our first speaker is Anna Unkovich, followed by Dane Sensor.
Anna Unkovich, 637 Acillo in Rio Grande. I want to extend a lot of gratitude to this council, to the mayor, to the people who sit at this table, to the police department, the fire department, the custodians, the clerks. You have blessed this town in a lot of ways, and I want that out there front and center. I don't always agree with every decision that's made, but I've always felt it to be respectful and thoughtful and in the best interest of this community. That having been said, I really, really, really would like us to move forward on town business. We have an investigation going on. I would like the investigators to investigate, and then if anything needs to come out, to then come to the meeting with whatever those issues are. Other than that, let's let the town do its business, and I thank each and every one of you and all the people behind the scenes that are taking care of our town for us. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Dane Sensor, followed by John Spencer.
Dane Sensor, I just wanted to comment on, I guess, the status of how people, myself and others, are feeling about the city of the Rio Grande and what has transpired in the last 3 months. There's a voting going on right now. It's election, of course. It's getting very heated. The one thing that I'm so disappointed in is the fact that this last week, a friend of mine who owns a business in Arroyo Grande was so intimidated because he got no less than 200 calls to say, you need to move your sign. It doesn't feel right. You know, I feel like my freedom's being intimidated, and it doesn't feel good. And I think a lot of people feel this way. This is America. We should be able to put the sign we want without getting 200 calls, feel intimidated. You know, when I left Chicago in 1974, people used to shake you down in that town. I feel like I'm being shook down in this town. I don't know what it is, but there's something not right. It doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. And I hope that everybody says this Rio Grande needs to heal. Well, you're telling me it needs more than healing. It needs to take a real serious look at itself because, you know, people from the outside are looking in. This is a nice little community here. You got a nice little village here. But don't make it a place of unhappiest place in the world. People want their freedom. People don't want to be intimidated. People want to be able to express themselves. Give them that freedom. This is a country of freedom. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. John Spencer, followed by Colleen Martin.
Good evening, Council and Mayor and staff. It was very interesting today to listen to Mr. Munchak talk about the economy in the county and some of the opportunities that announced. And that was sort of one of the things that I sort of had on my mind today is Over a dozen years ago, I was myself and my family and my family of employees that worked for our particular company had the opportunity in an extremely self-gratifying and opportunistic venture to come to the city of Arroyo Grande. And we had the opportunity to go in a blighted situation and help turn around and create a center that was vibrant and get involved in, at that particular time, heavily involved in not just myself, but a bunch of our staff in what they called the East Grand Avenue Enhancement Group that tried to get involved with other business leaders and business owners to create positive steps in a corridor that had a lot of challenges, that continues to have a lot of challenges. And with that in mind, I think there's some great opportunities, and I hope that moving forward that everybody will be open-minded and work to reestablish trust and confidence in growing small businesses in the city of Arroyo Grande. And I think it is really, really important. So that's just a little sidebar after Mr. Munchak spoke. I thought it was right on base. I know there's going to be opportunities moving forward in growing and investing in people in our city staff and management. And I think one of the things is very, very important moving forward, and I know the council has some real challenges ahead, looking for opportunities, for looking for new council and new staff members. But I would encourage you to reach out to the community and reach out to some of the business leaders in this town and maybe get in some kind of a town hall meeting and maybe invite a couple of prominent people maybe on both sides of the current challenges that we face here and the sides of emotion that are going on at a very high level in our area to maybe create some real trust and confidence in where we're moving forward on this, because there's no doubt that everybody over here at this table over here, this community has had a huge, huge investment in. And it's a shame when we get to the point where it becomes unproductive and we waste so much time and missing the challenges ahead of us. It reminds me...
John, can you wrap up?
I will wrap up. There's one thing. I'm old enough and have been here my whole life, and I remember a group of city fathers that really, really stepped out, and it was called Lopez Dam. And that was one of the most trying and troubling times that I can remember in my lifetime of getting that done. And the group of people that were our leaders really stepped to the plate, being in a situation that was very unpositive at the time, but made some really, really good decisions. And I wish all of you the best in doing that as we move forward.
Thank you. Thank you. Colleen Martin, followed by Vanessa Andrews.
On July, the integrity of Arroyo Grande over one person's indiscretions. You have disgraced the people of Arroyo Grande. Shame on me. Shame on you. For me, it is about the cover-up. The mayor waited until the filing deadline of August 8th passed for anyone else to run against him in November, like keeping the lid on something that could make him, his management, and conduct look bad, not to mention the presidency of the League of California Cities. This is, as it were, on top of the sanitation district investigation, the city hall lease, cutting down the trees at the vet clinic, and similar past dealings of questionable utility. This is what causes people to question what exactly is going on in City Hall to the City Council's decision-making process. Without a wrinkle in the fabric of pre-electioneering, the mayor was assured to be reelected with no opposition, sans a potential scandal. As the questionable event and the consequent six-week delayed handling became public knowledge, the error in judgment became apparent, This is the crux of the matter. This city council continues to not solve the problem created when you did not place your top administrator on administrative leave. Do it now. Do it now. What have you been waiting for? This tryst has blossomed into boatloads of business owners and citizens sharing their stories of the harsh treatment they have received from City Hall, mostly focused on the mayor and his overstepping his role. And I believe them. I believe the police also. Thank you, AGPOA, or this council would have continued to absolutely ignore citizens who are concerned. So, when are you, the city council, going to apologize and make this end? It is in your court. Your former employees are reaching out. Come on, this is broken and needs fixing. It is in your camp. You have the power. Put it on your agenda, please, as an action item, a strategic plan, how to be friendlier and more transparent for everyone in the work. I'm going to come to a close.
Okay.
You need a consultant. What is in the plan to reverse your relationship with the police? How are you going to solve the hostile work environment? Since August 19th, the mayor especially...
That's it. Please. You're done.
It's up to you. Please fix it.
Please. And can I get a little more volume here, Kelly?
Vanessa Andrews, a Rio Grande citizen for 35 years. I've attended just about every city council meeting, including the urgent meeting on that Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. I am not a satisfied citizen of this city after learning about the Tea Party of July 3rd, 2014, and the subsequent questionable actions. It is my right to attend, speak out, and wear whatever I want in support of whoever I want based on my rights to do so spelled out in this Constitution. Just because I don't happen to support what or who you do does not make me or anyone having similar beliefs a group using mob tactics and unproven facts. And it especially does not make me or my mob, whoever that is, an intimidating vocal group that was hijacked or has hijacked the city council. Oh, and who are we holding hostage here? Our presence here is to be heard. And if you find that intimidating or uncomfortable, that is a personal problem I cannot fix. We are holding the staff and the city council accountable. And we're being turned into the bad guys. Give me one example other than showing up to a government meeting, an open government meeting, and expressing concerns and complaints that has made it so intimidating and frightening. One example. Let's not forget why we're all here. And it began with Steve Adams violating city policy, probably law, and a city council keeping it under wraps and failing to appropriately handle it from the beginning. This could have been settled so long ago. Unknown authors of a ridiculous website, freearroyograndecouncil.org, makes numerous allegations with no proof that this is all a labor ploy by the POA. The insinuation that any member of the Arroyo Grande Police Department did anything improper or illegal is offensive and slanderous. They did the job they have been hired to do. The PD has used proof to answer those that have questioned or accused them, unlike city manager Steve Adams, who keeps enhancing and changing his story to fit the facts that have always remained the same in the police memorandums. Adams, with his polished ability to deflect the actions onto the POA, inferring that they have lied, which by inference makes them less than honorable, and he put it in writing. This has caused the public to question the police and their character and integrity, as evidenced in this free council website. The issue with regards to the POA having this ulterior motive regarding the July 3rd incident.
Good evening, Council, Mr. Mayor, and staff. In the 16 plus weeks since the incident of July the 3rd, what has changed? 16 weeks. And our city manager has yet to be put on administrative leave, which is a routine and widely accepted human resources policy. What were you thinking? Every day I question the motives behind your failure to act to follow routine human resources guidelines and put Steve Adams on leave. I know I've asked before, but I'll ask again. If any other employee had been discovered in the same uncomfortable situation, would the situation have been handled differently? 16 weeks is a long time. It's a long time for the spotlight to be shone down on the City Hall and its employees. How can the stress there not be off the charts? How much longer can we expect these employees to tolerate the ever-increasing scrutiny? The longer this drags on, the more questions it raises. What is your plan to unite this city after 16 long weeks of discord? People are watching what's happening here in Arroyo Grande. The League of California Cities is watching from Sacramento. What will they have to say about your inability to have resolved this issue after all these many weeks? Are we even moving in the right direction? Are we healing? Clearly not. After all this time, things appear to be headed further south more so than ever. Our police officers are operating under a vote of no confidence. No confidence in our mayor and our city manager. I don't believe they reached that decision lightly, nor as a result of some negotiation tactic. I believe the police, and stand behind these officers, they were doing their duty when they responded. And they continue to do their duty in spite of the insinuations made against them. Perhaps we could start the process of healing by accepting Mr. Adams' resignation and hiring an interim manager. Mr. Adams states in his resignation letter that he is confident the extraordinary and dedicated staff will carry on to do more great things. Let's give them this opportunity to do so sooner rather than later.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, and thank you for being mindful of the 3 minutes. Patty Welsh, followed by Otis Page.
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. On July 3rd, our police department received a call asking for them to locate Teresa McClish, who was late coming home and has a heart condition. Miss McClish is not an unknown person. She is a city employee whom these officers know and have known for a number of years. When they got to City Hall, they found a purse and a cell phone in a car, and then proceeded to knock on the windows and doors of City Hall, hoping she would come to the door. As we all know, that did not happen. And the police then made entrance into the building, again announcing themselves and hoping not to find Miss McClish in a dire medical situation. Thankfully, they found Miss McClish, and she was fine. Unfortunately, it has changed the working relationship with the police department and City Hall in a negative way. If this had been anybody's mother in that building that night, we would be standing up and cheer for what these officers did. Teresa is a mother. And those officers wanted her to go home to her children. They did their job that night, and yet some of you have called them liars. One of those officers was not even on duty. He went because he knew he could get there first, had the needed keys, and that time matters in a medical call-out. Since then, the police felt compelled to give a zero vote of confidence for Steve Adams and Tony Ferrara after they were accused of being dishonest. These are men and women who are willing to put their lives on the line for each and every one of us. But let's put all that behind us. We now have a fractured relationship between our police and City Hall that still exists. And Steve Adams admits his relationship with the POA is not good. So what are you going to do to make things better? And why have you not started? What are you waiting for to start fixing the broken relationship that has occurred on July 3rd incident? Maybe it's time for an apology to our men and women who have our backs 7 days a week, 365 days a year. As I stated time and time again, a fracture in this relationship is not good. It is not good for the citizens. It is not good for business. It is not good for the police or for City Hall. It is time for this to end. I don't want to lose a single officer of our force because of this incident. How do you make things better? Try starting with an apology, a heartfelt apology, and move on from there. Thank you.
So long. We were guaranteed transparency by you, Mr. Costello, and for a process from Brown that would know what's going on here. We still don't know what's going on. Okay? Now, with that, I offer this advice to you. You have a letter from your city manager with his intent to resign. You should not allow a procedure here and a practice of continuing his financial responsibility for the city. You have a fiduciary interest to the citizens on this. I am calling for a financial audit of the city now because of your decision to use a man in office who has resigned, and he's your financial officer. You should probably appoint a committee to run the city's finances, to answer to the council and or members of the council in such a committee. But I'm calling for a financial audit, which is administered by the California League of Cities, Mr. Ferraro, of which you're the president.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Is there a Debbie Brown here? Okay. Next speaker is Colleen Dries, followed by Cassandra Appleton.
Honorable Mayor, Council, and City Staff, my name is Colleen Dries, and I live at 543 Via Bandolero. I have two things I would like to talk about tonight. First, thank you for your service to our community. We've seen many changes since we moved here in 1989, all the while keeping with the small-town flavor of our beloved Arroyo Grande. Secondly, I'm sorry. Sorry for some of the things I've seen in this chamber recently. Don't get me wrong. I support the difference of opinion. It's America, after all. But if an issue can't stand on its own without being shrouded with insults, nastiness, and sometimes downright abusive speech, you better rethink your issue. That's just my opinion. In conclusion, you have sat through these meetings, ladies and gentlemen, like ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure I could have. Whatever happened to civilness and respectfulness? And so, I thank you again for your service to our community. I support you. And if there's any in this room, I would like them to stand quietly and professionally and show their support. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Cassandra Appleton, followed by Manetta Bennett.
Good evening, council members, members of the public. I'm a resident of the Five Cities area my entire life, and I have heard transparency, 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 and I'm concerned about that. In 2010, there was a sewer spill. Millions of gallons of raw sewage was spilled into the lagoon. People were displaced from their homes. A fine in 2012 was levied against us at $1.1 million. The former administrator / district engineer of the sanitation district, John Wallace and the Wallace Group, was found guilty. Nobody has said anything about a rate increase that we're supposed to get after the election. And I'm wondering if we're good on the books at the sanitation district, since Mr. Wallace has no longer got his little hands in it. Why are we getting a rate increase? Is this to cover the $1.1 million that John Wallace was found guilty of? Is this also to pay off the people who are suing John Wallace personally for flooding their homes in Oceano? Where's the transparency on this? The people of Arroyo Grande, the people of Oceano, and the people of Grover Beach need to know where their rate increase is going. Why? And why isn't John Wallace being held responsible? Where is the audit of the sand district that hasn't been done? Where is it at? I can guarantee you, if you audit the sanitation district, you will come up with more than enough money that was paid to John Wallace and the Wallace Group that will cover the fine for what he did wrong, not the citizens.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Minetta Bennett, followed by Rudy Xavier.
I want to thank the city council and the city staff for all their work in the last few years. I'm Minetta Bennett, and I have lived on Allen Street for almost 59 years.
Rudy Xavier, followed by Rich Hagler.
Mayor Ferrara, Honored Council, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rudy Xavier, Rodeo Drive, Rio Grande. We've heard a lot today about what's wrong with AG, and I'd like to mention a few things that are right with AG, and I think that that deserves some time. You know, we do need to dispense with some of the things that have been said in the past, in past meetings as well as this one. I'd like to point out that I don't know anybody, frankly, that doesn't have great respect for the police. We have great respect and great appreciation for their work. I personally have respect for Shane Day and his handling of my complaints. They have been wonderful. We have nothing against police, and no one has called them liars that I can tell. Now, I want to move on to this constant referral to the July 3rd incident. This is a fiction, ladies and gentlemen. It's a simple fiction. Conspiracy theories do not help your cause. No one in the council also, for example, has disdain for the people of AG. We've now also seen this email that's so damning. We've all read it. It's ridiculous. It is nonsense. But let's talk about what's positive here. AG has survived the worst recession since the Great Depression. And it didn't just happen on its own. It happened because it came about with financial stewardship and management from Steve Adams and the rest of the council and staff. It happened because there were plans for road and traffic abatement, financial stewardship of the village, substantial opportunity. We've had a stable government, good mayor, city manager, council, and staff. The rancor we've heard today is a simple fact that demonstrates we need a continuity of government succession and matters. It matters. The village succeeds because we've had people in place who care, who have the skills and the temperament to manage, to face hard financial and political challenges with years of experience. That skills, experience, and caring, nothing beats that. We need our whole council to lead us into 2015 and beyond. We cannot afford to lose somebody like Steve Adams or Teresa McLeish. We need to stand up, remind people that citizenship only happens when citizens are involved. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Rich Hagler, followed by Jan Scott.
My name is Rich Hagler. I live at 417 Stagecoach, citizen of 20 years. Good evening, City Council members and staff. I'm here today to show my support for our rank-and-file public safety officials. Let's not forget the firefighters who are also en route to City Hall, and support their vote of no confidence in Mr. Mayor and the city manager, Mr. Adams. I'm here to try to understand. Please, can you help me understand why today, 10 weeks after your citizens found out, the city manager and the development director remain employed by the city after their premeditated, intoxicated use of City Hall on July 3rd? Private industry doesn't allow this conduct, so why do you? Please help me understand why our city attorney remains contracted after a less than adequate, illegally granted, bungled investigation of this event. Please help me understand why this council calls a token special meeting on October the 8th, 9 a.m., when few can attend. And we find out from your offhanded remarks that the independent investigation, in quotes, has already begun. Really? One contract for the public to look at. That's tyranny in its finest, Mr. Mayor. Great. So now you've hired a firm of more than coincidental connection to the lenient firm hired by our mayor to invest South County Sanitation District. Were you not aware of the San Luis Obispo grand jury admonishment of our mayor on this issue? Where is my counsel? Where are you in the items for discussion? Where are you in item 15 and 17 on this agenda when you have the opportunity to make remarks about this? You're silent. Speaks volumes. Help me understand why it's okay for our mayor to use city resources as first responders for a downed tree on his property. Help me understand that. Can I do that? You think they'd come to my house? I don't think so. 196 bucks, really? For three guys' trucks and a haul-off? I want to see the audit. And if citizens can do that, great, fantastic. The winds are coming. Lastly, help me understand why it's okay for our mayor to again violate the Brown Act by forwarding an email of a citizen's concerns to you all, stating in the mayor's own words, quote, no need to respond. This is an FYI. I wanted you to know where I'm coming from, as if maybe you've had discussions previously. Not about to take this crap from anyone, and this was a Freedom of Information document. Really, Mr. Mayor. Well, the citizens of Rio Grande don't have to take this from you either, and they're going to prove it to you next Tuesday. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. I'm sorry?
Do know. There are people who clamor for change, not understanding that steady leadership in government is one of the most important things we can yearn for. We need to rely on people who grasp policy and procedure and how to get things accomplished. Without elected officials who understand how government runs, we are always left at the mercy of the moneyed interest buying what they can. Your wisdom in deciding how we moved forward kept us out of trouble during the recession. So thank you. And thank you one more time for your work in continuing to keep us financially sound. I can't say it enough. We rely on your experience and expertise. We'd be foolish to do otherwise. Really foolish. We need you all back next term. Lastly, I want to thank Steve Adams for his years of service. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Tom Talbert, followed by Ross Congable.
My name is Tom Talbert. I live at 1050 Meadow Way with the lady that just spoke to you, as a matter of fact. Mr. Mayor, members of Arroyo Grande City Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I've lived in the city of Arroyo Grande for 49 years. I realize I don't look like I have been here that long, but I have. I've watched Arroyo Grande change from a sleepy little community into a thriving city filled with people who feel they've made the right choice to come and live here. We're a vibrant community and maintain order, host all kinds of festivals, provide live entertainment, and we win national competitions for landscaping. We are known for our extraordinary volunteerism. Our city fosters all kinds of things that matter, from road repair to education to the arts and many others. The spirit of citizenship does not just happen. It comes from the planning and dedication of our mayor, council, city manager, and staff. Over the years, Mr. Ferrara has continued to demonstrate leadership in preserving what is best for Arroyo Grande, and the rest of you have come along and been a part of that as well. It is time for us to take a good look at where we are and who we are and realize what is best for our city and to maintain conformity and unity as we move along. It would be terrible to saddle ourselves with complete inexperience when we have an outstanding mayor and council already doing an outstanding job. The citizens of Arroyo Grande need to support our current council and staff and to lead us into 2015 and beyond. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Ross Congable, followed by Bill McCann.
Good evening, council members, staff. Again, I would like to reiterate my sincere gratitude to you and the city staff for your outstanding performance of all your duties for the past few years. But I'm most fearful for the future of our beloved town with what is going on right now. I don't believe anyone has said the police have done anything wrong. The POA is what sent in the vote of no confidence. When our own police force is unwilling to maintain order in the council chambers for fear of intimidation, and the county sheriff has to be called in to maintain order, something is terribly wrong. When an outside group selects a write-in candidate for our highest office who has lived in town for barely a year, who knows nothing of the history of our town, who has never attended a council meeting, and leads a vendetta against our city manager and the mayor, something is terribly wrong. When residents and businesses are afraid to put political signs on their property for fear of reprisal, something is terribly wrong. The last few city meetings have been a travesty in civil conduct, all carried out in a scripted program. To disrupt city management, to confuse the voters with innuendos and baseless accusations, to denigrate honest and hardworking personnel. This all done with viciousness and spite.
But I told you that 2 weeks ago. I won't repeat myself on that subject, but I have one other thing I want to talk about, and that's this placement of campaign signs. A little thing, you say. But we have some laws, campaign laws, that some of the candidates are violating. All candidates must have the approval of a property owner before placing signs, including on vacant lots or rental buildings. No signs can be placed on public right-of-way either. If in doubt, check with the City Code Enforcement Department. It appears that this has not been done by some candidates. The property owner is the only person who can remove a sign from their property if they did not authorize its placement. A large Ferrara for Mayor sign on Corbett Canyon and Corral Street was defaced with paint. This is considered vandalism, as is the property located across from Alfie's in the village of Arroyo Grande. This property owner was informed that the signs he put up were taken down and replaced with the opposing candidate signs without his approval. The original signs for Ferrara, Costello, and Ray were later found and put back up. The responsibility of proper sign display rests on the candidate's shoulders, whether he put the signs up or not. It is his job to inform his supporters of these facts. Each of us wants to support our respective candidates, so please be tolerant of each other's rights. There are rules and regulations that must be followed in a campaign. Also, please remember to remove all signs after the election. Thank you for your time, and good evening.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Devin Ward, followed by Doug Perrin.
Devin Ward. I live on South Alpine Street, which is intersects with Grand Avenue over here on just to the west of the 101. And we used to have a crosswalk right where South Alpine intersects Grand Avenue to cross Grand Avenue. And a few months ago, that crosswalk was removed completely. And now, between the village here, a traffic way, and Halcyon, which is about a mile, there is no place to cross the street. Although we have a bus stop at the AMPM, we have McDonald's, we have numerous businesses along that strip, and we have a lot of people in my neighborhood who cross that street. Just the other day, a woman with a baby carriage crossed that street. People run across that street because there's nowhere to cross. It's only a matter of time until someone gets hit, or, dare I say, killed. I don't know what the rationale was behind removing the only crosswalk between Traffic Way and Halcyon, but I believe the opposite should have been done, and that is to put in the kinds of lights that are here in the village for people to cross. People stood at that crosswalk all the time, and cars just flew by. Maybe that was the rationale for removing it, because nobody stopped anyway. But it's a dangerous situation, and I'm hoping someone can address it.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Doug Perrin, followed by Brad Snook.
Hi, my name is Doug Perrin, 1085 Fuller Road, San Luis Obispo. I heard some comments earlier about people not living in Arroyo Grande and making comments. I did work for the city for 33 years, and I do love this community, so I just want to get that out front. I want to say that I admire the council and all staff for their service and willingness to serve the city of Arroyo Grande. I'd also like to say I admire everybody who's willing to get up and speak here. It's very difficult to get up in front of the council and speak in public, and whether people in favor of the council or not, it's a challenge, and you have a right to do that, and I admire anybody who's willing to do that. I'd also want to say I admire anybody who's willing to run for public office and be willing to sit up on the dais and listen to the kind of comments that come into council, whether it be, you know, questioning integrity, questioning honesty. That's very challenging, and I know how hard that is. I'm going to use a little bit of an analogy. Some folks here may know I've been a high school and college wrestling official for 40 years. And as a referee, we take a lot of heat from coaches and from fans. We use our skills and our knowledge.
Good evening, Council. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the volunteer coordinator for our county's chapter of the Surf Rider Foundation. I'd like to thank the council and staff for hearing my comments tonight. First time I made public comment in 2011, I asked for an independent investigation into potential malfeasance by the plant administrator and chief engineer at the South County Sanitation District. And on that night, this chamber was loaded with people just like it is right now. And the reason, when I first saw that, I'm like, wow, look at all these people who are here about the sanitation district too. And then I found out they were here for the Food for Less over there on Grand Avenue. And I came up and I made that statement. And what it did to kind of add on to what was previously said here was it started kind of a glacial pace of change that I've seen with the sanitation district that has been positive. And I think while the city does face challenges on a lot of different levels, these are not personal vendettas. These are not problems between citizens. These are problems of city policy that need to be addressed. And when I came here and made a statement on that Saturday a few weeks ago, that's what my statement was about. We take your position serious. We take the staff's active role and making this a better city serious. Surfrider does not endorse candidates, but I will tell you that early in 2011, it was Jim Hill that supported an investigation into what was going on at the sanitation district. Jim Hill is not new to the area. Jim Hill has been around this area for a long time. And if you look at the glacial pace of what's happened, maybe that guy, with everything that's happened, is a sign that maybe he's supposed to get more actively involved in what's happening here. Because I know Debbie Peterson, Mayor Peterson from Grover Beach, has had a huge positive impact at what happened in the sanitation district. And Oceano has also made some changes that were very positive, but Arroyo Grande was not part of the positive change of the South County Sanitation District. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Heather Jensen, followed by Leanne Akins.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Heather Jensen, resident of Arroyo Grande. And I'm here tonight to endorse the comments that have just been made with the concerns that are going on in our city but also to bring up another concern that is of dire importance to all of us, and that's our severe drought in Arroyo Grande and throughout California. The future is unknown as far as what's going to happen and what the weather, and if we're going to have rain or we're going to have more years of drought. And that all kind of evolved into my thinking process on the recent awarding of a contract for marketing to Arroyo Grande residents and businesses to be more conservative with their water usage. And I really didn't agree with that because I think we're very concerned citizens and are doing what we can already to conserve water. But not knowing the future, it could be even more and more serious all the time. And building on that, I think Arroyo Grande citizens are very conscientious about water, but I am questioning the two major housing projects that you have in the pipeline, the East Cherry Tract and the annexation potential south of Arroyo Grande. And I know those are things that you've been working on a lot, and I would request that you make that an agenda item so it be commented, and I'd like to see your justification on continuing those projects, which would certainly drain our water system as well as all the other infrastructure situations for Arroyo Grande, and it just seems like not a right time to do it. So hopefully we'll see that on the agenda for your information, the information you have to share with the residents and the businesses about why you think this is timely and it should go through at this time, or should it be put on hold until a more apt time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Leanne Akins, and that is the last public comment slip that I have. I do have speaker slips on other agenda items.
My name's Leanne Akins, and I live at 608 Cornwall Avenue in Arroyo Grande. I'm concerned about the direction that our city is going. I moved here from the Bay Area not that long ago. Please don't hold that against me. I love it here. And I want to be a location. And I can assure you that if the educational institutions I have been part of would disregard or not follow or not take into consideration the policies set forth by those institutions as well as outside governing bodies, those institutions would lose their accreditation. So I ask you what you think should happen, given that you have ignored not only policies set forth by the city, set forth by the state, but especially the Brown Act. I am here tonight to support the AGPOA, and if anyone else is here tonight that supports them, please stand. I thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Okay, thank you for your public comment, and that closes public comment. And are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on to item 8, which is our consent agenda. If you're following along, this is a group of items that the council normally approves in one action, unless there is an item on consent that a member of the council would like to pull for further discussion, clarification, or an independent action. And this is also an opportunity for members of the public to come forward. And I don't have any speaker slips for the consent agenda, but we're going to be addressing consent items 8A through 8M. Okay, once again, I have no speaker slips for the consent agenda. So I will come back to the council. What is the will of the council? Any consent items to pull tonight?
I don't have anything to pull, but I just wanted to ask a couple questions of clarification.
Jill, any items? Okay. Questions on?
On 8I.
Okay.
Let me go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve, just for the benefit of the public and people at home, can you just explain the order of the parade, how it's going to be changed? Is that 8I, right?
No,
oh, sorry.
I got me confused.
Okay. The parade or 8, let's see.
L.
8L. Because it's changed.
I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Barnage.
Yeah. Is your mic on, Steve?
Yeah. Can you hear me? No?
That's kind of low.
So after a couple meetings between staff and the parade organizers this year, a decision was made that there'd be some benefit to basically switching the direction of the parade. If you recall, the past Christmas parades, because of traffic issues, we're not able to bring it all the way up to Mason Street. It ends at Short Street, so it goes into Olahan Alley. That creates quite a bottleneck at the very end of the parade and kind of impacts the flow of the entire parade. There was also some question about staging around the Bank of America Park, Bank America parking lot area isn't ideal. And so the discussion and ultimate decision was that if we begin at the former end of the parade at Short Street, that allows the parade to stage in Olin Alley, which should work much better, gives them a better staging area. They will then enter the Village East Branch Street from Short Street, travel west instead of east, and then disperse at the Bank of America parking lot, which provides a wider area to disperse the participants. It also ends the parade closer to the tree lighting ceremony, which has now been moved from the old Public Works building down to the church at that end of town. So conceptually speaking, everybody thinks it'll work better. We'll see. There's always unexpected things that can come up, but we think it's a good plan, and everybody's in agreement on it.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's all. Thank you.
If there's something else, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda, 8A through 8M.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Anything to read in there tonight, Tim?
No, Mayor Farrar.
Okay. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnett?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Okay. Item 9, public hearings. We have none this evening. Item 10 is continued business. Once again, we have none. Item 11 is new business. 11A is consideration of consultant services for the city manager recruitments. And good evening, Debbie.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm not sure this thing's on. I'm Debbie Malicote. I'm the Director of Administrative Services, and tonight I come before the Council to have you consider the first step in a process to recruit a new city that would far exceed staff's Rolodex of potential candidates. They also provide for the process to be impartial and work for the council in selecting the best candidate. If the city is going to use the services of a recruitment firm, the first step is to issue a request for proposal or an RFP to qualified firms. There are about a half a dozen firms that specialize in these types of recruitments, and we would suggest that once we issue the RFP and we get those proposals back, that a council subcommittee comprised of the mayor and mayor pro tem would review those proposals, select finalists, and ultimately bring to the council a recommendation for the award of the contract. Staff has developed an extremely aggressive timeline that begins with issuing this RFP and selecting the consultant in November, followed by outreach and advertising of the position in December and January, recognizing that there are several holidays that occur during this time period. We would then have screening of the candidates in early to mid-February, and that work would be done by the consultant. Council would then interview finalists and make a selection, and we would do background checking in late February with the hopeful appointment of a candidate in March. It would result in a start date for the new city manager in late March or more likely April. It is an aggressive timeline, and therefore it is imperative that we begin the process now. Based on our research, we believe that using a professional recruitment firm will cost about $26,000 and will provide the most effective approach to attracting the highest quality candidates for the position. So with that, if there are any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Demi? Anything?
No.
Okay. I have no speaker slips for 11A. I do for 11B. So,
I just had them in there, but...
Okay, well, we'll just, why don't we just do this? If you want to come up and speak on 11A, please do so.
I have read over the consideration, and I do believe a consultant is necessary to recruit a new city manager, and I do think the timeline is aggressive, given the holidays. But what I am asking you is that instead of having such an aggressive timeline, that you hire an interim. An interim would help keep things down. Existing staff should not, who are leaving, Mr. Adams, should not be in part of this system, this program. So if you allow Mr. Adams to leave and then hire an interim who can maybe focus in on some of the healing and some of the collaboration that needs to take place, and then you can spend a full amount of time as needed and necessary to recruit the ideal candidate for the job. I really think that the time that an interim can provide you will allow you to recruit a better candidate than having this aggressive timeline. I do think a consultant is necessary. I think you're going to need a lot of consultants in the next coming months. But I think that that's a good idea to help calm the waters. If you calm the waters, you're going to be able to attract better applicants. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward on 11A?
Nessa Andrews. I want to reiterate what she just said. I feel that Mr. Adams should not be part of the selection process or the training process. He has already made some very contentious statements in writing that causes a lot of clash in these employee groups. And I don't think that he's going to save us by helping with that decision. I agree we need an interim city manager. I've said it all along. I'd like to see him terminated right now. So okay. Please consider that.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else on 11A? All right. Seeing no one, we'll bring the comments back to the council. We'll start with, on my right, with Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've used a recruiting firm before for various chief positions, police chief, fire chief. I think that it is the appropriate way to go. I do want the aggressive time frame pursued. I'd like to get this behind us as soon as possible. I'll support this tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Barnish.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have much to add. I think the timeline is aggressive, but I think that if Debbie thinks we can possibly do it, it sounds good to me, and I'm ready to move forward. Thank you.
On to our RFP, I would anticipate probably 5 or 6 that we will get back, and then the subcommittee would review those, narrow that field down, and then ultimately make a recommendation to the entire council based on interviews or whatever other process that might be needed to determine which consultant you believe to be the best assistant to you in recruiting a new city manager. Because it really is about the consultant assisting you, the council, in making that decision.
Appreciate that clarification. With that, I too am in favor of moving forward, and it is a very aggressive timeline, and we'll do our best to execute it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I don't have much to add either. This is an aggressive timeline. We couldn't even hope to meet it without the services of a consultant. Many of us up here have worked with several of these firms. We know that they're good, and we know that they have resources and contacts far beyond those that we could muster on our own. So I'm supportive as well, and with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor, move we approve the use of $26,000 in contingency funds for consultant services to coordinate city manager recruitment selection process, and that we designate the mayor and the mayor pro tem to interview and recommend a consultant after proposals are received.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Mayor pro tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Okay, moving on to 11B. This is a consideration of an ordinance adding section 9.16.072 to chapter 9.16 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code, and this relates to music and noise after 10 p.m. in the commercial districts. David, good evening.
Mr. Mayor, I'll just give a brief introduction as far as the background. As you know, a few months ago, the city received a number of complaints from adjacent property owners to some of the drinking establishments in the village regarding late evening noise coming from those establishments, and asked the city to look into it and see if something could be done. And so we did some research on potential alternatives, brought that to council, and got some direction to prepare an ordinance. This is the first of two items we will be bringing to you. One focuses on specific noise restrictions. The second, and I'll have David mention that a little bit too, it'll come forward in a couple months, which gets into more of the nuisance abatement improvements. But that has to go to the Planning Commission first, since it's in the Development Code. So with that, I just want to turn it over to David, who's drafted this, to make the presentation on what's being presented this evening.
Thanks, Steve. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, you have being presented to you this evening an ordinance for introduction that would add a section to the Rio Grande Municipal Code that would relate to music or noise after 10 p.m. in commercial districts. Currently, the municipal code and its provisions relating to noise revolve around the use of decibel levels and require meters and things like that, and it gets rather complicated and cumbersome to enforce those kind of standards. This ordinance is drafted to supplement those sections and is instead a prohibition on noise in outdoor non-enclosed areas in commercial zones between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. In addition, based upon when this was presented in August, the council's discussion, there was a concern raised about noise emanating from inside a facility during late hours, and couldn't we just require the doors to be closed? So I've drafted language to try to achieve that in the let's see, I think it's subsection B of the proposed code section. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll respond to that. As to the nuisance ordinance that the city manager alluded to, that's actually going to the Planning Commission at its next meeting. It's drafted as what's known throughout the state, actually, as a deemed approved ordinance. Not too surprising that other communities have similar issues with places that serve alcohol that don't have conditional use permits, their legal nonconforming status. In the early 90s, the city of Oakland drafted an ordinance that they called a deemed approved ordinance. The concept is fairly simple, and that is that those businesses that are legal nonconforming because of its consideration. So again, if you have any questions regarding the noise ordinance, I'd be happy to respond.
Okay, thanks. Questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. David, on item B in the ordinance, talks about when the sounds emanate from an enclosed structure in such a manner as to be plainly audible from any adjacent property or the center line of any street. So I'm thinking about the two bars that we have, Bill's and Ralph and Duane's. I mean, they're right next to the adjacent properties attached to them. So they're not open, but if there was a complaint from someone, and I know we're getting on to, you know, sort of the enforcement part of it, but it's in the ordinance, so I wanted to ask about it. When we get a complaint from a citizen and the law enforcement goes down there to check it out, what exactly does plainly audible mean?
I think that would be interpreted based upon the plain meaning of the language. If you can hear it, plainly audible. And, of course, the remedy that's in the ordinance is that the doors need to be shut.
Right. Okay. And then the other question I had is on the letter that we received. And one of the Arlie, and I emailed this person back and forth, and I'm sorry, I don't know if it's a Mr. or a Mrs., but they're probably here to speak. Mr., okay. And I understand their concerns. We emailed back and forth. Has anyone looked into the last paragraph talks about taxi service and that taxi companies don't like to come to the village. And he speaks, and I can ask him about that. But do we know if that's a true statement, if we have problems getting taxis in the village to come pick people up? Anybody? No? Okay, well, I'll ask the applicant. I mean, I'll ask the gentleman who wrote the letter. Okay, thank you. No more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have a question. It also relates to Section B, which we were talking about a little bit back, but the doors being closed. Now, if the bar is open and have the doors closed, people come and go, those doors are going to be opening and closing as people come and go. Are we trying to say they can't have the doors open and allow people to come and go?
No, not at all, but I think it's incumbent upon management to make sure that the doors get shut again.
Okay. So it's not an intent to cease functioning at 10 o'clock?
No, not at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Could you or David elaborate a little bit more on kind of the purpose for taking this additional step? Elaborate where we were with what is currently in existence, and as I understand it, this provides our police department with a little more leverage and a little more, teeth in the law, so that you know we can remedy some of these situations. So, could you just kind of elaborate where we were and where we're headed?
Yeah, just very briefly. I believe Commander Pryor's here too, that might be able to add more specifics if necessary. But I'll just give you the very brief version. As we mentioned in the introduction, this was initiated by a number of complaints from residents that back up to these businesses and have been disturbed by late-hour noise. And the police department has received a number of calls to respond to these incidents. And they've tried to work voluntarily with the business owners, but the current regulations provide very little teeth or effectiveness in enforcement. Mostly it's based on decibel levels that require a very sophisticated testing process, and that it normally is not very accurate. It's very difficult to set that equipment up. It's staff-consuming, difficult to get it set up at the time when the noise issue takes place. So we wanted to develop a much more common-sense approach where we just identified the specific activities that are causing the problems and try to restrict those in a reasonable way. We tried to balance this so we don't want to discourage, we don't want to have any disincentives of new businesses coming into, that are going to be visitor-serving businesses. But we wanted to come up with just some reasonable restrictions. Everybody agreed that 10 o'clock was reasonable. And so it's, you know, specifically geared to provide a time limit on those outdoor noise activities, and then it was recognized that also the indoor noise can cause the same problem if the doors are left open. It doesn't deal with people coming in and out, but if they're left open. And so that's what it focused on, and the real intent was to make it easier for the police department.
Already.
Hi, my name is Pete Ruiz, Jr. I do not live in the community, but I do business at Ralph and DeWayne's. I do feel that this could possibly hamper some of the business that does come into the bar or into the area. I've been doing this job 23 years. It's been my sole source of income for the past 17. I actually own a Class Act mobile sound. That's the company we own. Excuse me. I just want to put my input in. We try to keep the volume, you know, sensible, but we do get a lot of people in there. And a lot of times I've been out in the parking lot where people have come in and complained and making sure that the sound out there is acceptable. so many times I've heard cars taken off that is much more louder than the music that we have emanating from the bar area. One night last week, I was out there checking the sound. Harley was driving down the freeway, and it was a lot louder than the sound that we had. But I just want to put my little two cents in and say that, you know, we are working. I'm not just a run-of-the-mill type of guy that has another job on the side. We are a professional DJ company that comes in and does this on a regular basis. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Andy Moretti.
My name is Arlie Moretti. My mother, Marcia, and I.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. I get it all the time. We've had Ralph and Duane's for 13 years. We've been fortunate enough to come into such a well-established community with a rich history. Our landlord was willing enough to entrust his family business to us in his name. A business that started over 80 years ago. Our goal is to build a place for locals to go and feel welcome, spend time with friends, enjoy entertainment, and just relax. We are passionate about supporting our community. We constantly have benefit events for those in need. We had two this year. We got another one coming up on November 8th for local veterans. We've also joined the Chamber of Commerce, something we've been intending to do for quite some time. I understand that the residents deserve a peaceful environment. However, I don't feel that we are impending on that. We have constantly been having entertainment in the form of live bands, DJs, karaoke, jukebox for as long as we've been there. It seems like within the last 7 years we've had complaints. If we were forced to close the doors, this would devastate our business. One, it would give the impression of us being closed, thereby drive away potential customers. Oftentimes when people walk past the building, they don't even know it's there. But at night, when we're the only ones open, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Our front door opens inward, and it's a big old heavy door. I worry it's going to cause a fire hazard. I think it would also block the line of sight through the door for our employees and the police department. Mainly protecting our customers. Let me rephrase that. It looks like a hallway in there. And having that door closed would just shut off all visual. We want to be good neighbors for both. We want to be good neighbors, both our business, Bill's Place, and ours. I feel like it's the same few neighbors complaining instead of the whole community. I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. I have no other speaker slips on this item. Okay. Sure. Come on.
Council and staff. My name is Casey O'Connor with Bill's Place. Just kind of hit me today that this was coming on tonight, so I'm not necessarily prepared as I might be. I certainly understand the need to work with the community and work with the residents to control the noise. I just don't know this is actually the right way to go about it. You know, as Arlie said, it's unfortunate, but we are in the business district. And if you go buy a house next to the airport and airplanes come down, who are you going to complain to? You did it knowingly. I mean, I'm not saying that we can't do a better job and monitor what we're doing, and I think that that's what the next ordinance that's going to come to you is going to make us be more responsible, you know, by deemed appropriate. Shutting the doors at 10 o'clock, hey, I'll be more than happy to try and work with you. I just don't see it working. There are so many people coming in and out. It's going to be open as much as it's going to be closed, even if you want to close it. I mean, ours is on a, you know, it's on a swing, so it closes automatically unless we prop it open. I don't know. I just think that there's better ways to handle the situation. I think that a business district was designed to have businesses downtown. Whether we like the bars there or whether we don't, they're there. You know, Bill's Place has been in the family since 1933. You know, they've done karaoke for the last 20 years. Mr. Adams, I'm sorry, I hate to call you out on this one. You took a lot of heat tonight anyway, but I've never been contacted about doing anything. You know, so, I mean, if I don't mean to push the envelope there, but if somebody wanted to come to me and say, hey, you guys are being too noisy, I'd be more than happy to already know what's going on, but I've never been contacted once by anybody. We try to work with the community. We try to work with the police. The Rio Grande Police Department is absolutely excellent. They're the best. They work with us well. You know, they're conscious, they're there, they help, you know, so I just want to get that out there. I don't think that we could have a finer police department. That's really all I have to say. I think the downtown business district is there because homes have come closer and closer and closer. I don't know if it's fair to restrict us because somebody's moved in. Now, if we're doing something that is out of the ordinary or out of line, absolutely, we need to monitor that and watch that. And I think that that's what the next ordinance may give the police department more leverage to do. But saying to shut the doors at 10 o'clock, hey, Monday through Thursday or Sunday through Thursday, knock yourself out. But probably 60% of our revenue comes on Friday and Saturday nights. So we're not talking just a little bit. We're not talking a little inconvenience. Probably at least, and I can't speak for Arlie, but I know for ours is probably 60% of our revenue is Friday and Saturday nights. Now, if we need to do something to work with you guys, like I said, I have no problem. I just don't think a blanket, oh, let's shut your door at 10 o'clock, it's going to work. Because there's so many people coming in and out of there on a regular basis, I think you're going to get more calls. So then what happens when the police department comes out and the door's shut because nobody's standing in the middle of it? You know, it's just going to be this revolving door of calls and complaints. I think there might be a better way to handle it. But that being said, thank you for your time. Just wanted you to know we're here to work with you and do whatever, you know, is necessary to come to an equitable solution. I just don't think you've got it yet. So,
before you go, I've got a question.
Sure. Yeah.
You say you have a door that swings closed. Do you keep it closed and it's just people are using it when they come and go?
Yeah. Well, no. I didn't know that until today. I actually talked to Teresa, so I had to go talk to some of the bartenders and find out. Mainly during the summer and on the warm nights, it's propped open just with, you know, the little door stop, you know. So, you know, I don't have a problem shutting the front door. We couldn't shut both doors. You couldn't shut the one in the back that goes to the alley. It's so far in, and it wouldn't make sense. The out one, I'd be more than, you know, the front door, I'd be more than happy to try. That's the one that goes out to the street. But as people are coming in and out, they're going back and forth, they're coming in from other establishments, I just don't see it always being closed. Now, I, again, have no problem trying. I just don't think that the rest of the ordinance sounds that well when it goes to the center line of the street and to your neighbors. We're in the downtown business district. You know, that's where we're supposed to be. We can't be anyplace else unless you want us to go out to Wasna. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I think it could be maybe written a little bit better. I think, like I said, the next ordinance that's coming to you probably makes more sense to me because then it makes us accountable for any actions that we may call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions? Okay,
yeah,
thank
I
you.
Couple, can I have okay, one question? I know your front door is a swinging door.
Yes.
The back door, what kind of a door is that?
It's a screen door. We have a big door that comes in with a metal bar that goes over
okay.
it. It doesn't even shut. It kind of like okay. slides back. In the back door, Bill's has a, you know, from the back door to the alley, the city property alley is probably about 40 or 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's well inside. There's a covered patio, then there's an uncovered patio, then there's parking, and then there's the city property, the alley. we wouldn't be able to close the back door. I don't think that there's ever been any complaints with the music going out towards the creek anyway. It's a stretch. Most of it will come out the front and then funnel up the hill.
And then do you guys have AC there?
We do.
Okay.
I don't know about our knees. We do. In fact, I actually spoke to...
Okay, hang on just a second, please. Okay, one person at a time. We need to get you on the mic.
We do have AC. I'm going to ask the other owner, but I wanted to see.
It gets really, you know, like after I spoke with Teresa today, I went back and spoke to some of the nighttime bartenders, and the reason for it is it's pretty stuffy. Now, our situation's a little bit different than R&D's. You don't really see it as much. Bill's has two bigger windows. You know, you can go by, you know when it's open. So, but Arlie was 100% correct. It's, you know, everybody's situation's a little bit different.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was my only question. Thank you.
Okay. Did you want to come up and make a statement? Okay.
Am I done?
Thanks. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Marcia Moretti, and though I don't live in the village, my husband and I, we, you know, purchased Ralph and Duane's 13 years ago. That being said, we just celebrated our 13th year anniversary this past September. Arlie and I have been running the business since then. We have music, live music, out on the patio from 2 to 6 on Sunday afternoons during the summer months. We just finished that. We're not going to have any more music until next year, next May, from May to September. And previously, in the last 7 years, we would get these complaints really heavy towards the end of the season, towards September, the end of September, and then into October, when we would float into the October month. And we found it's more when football season has started. People are home earlier and sitting at home watching TV, and then they hear the music that's out on our patio. Now, our patio, whereas Casey was saying, his backyard faces the creek. Our backyard faces the mountain, and the music travels up the hill. And so it's going to travel up, and everybody behind us, which is all residential, they're going to hear us. But we stop it at 6 o'clock. So telling us to shut our music at 10 o'clock, that's almost ridiculous. And for us to close our doors, like Arlie was saying, we have a long, narrow bar. Our only means of ventilation is through our doors, the front door and the back door. That's our air conditioning. Yes?
A question for you. You don't have music inside the bar after 6?
We have a DJ Thursday through Saturday evening.
How late does he go?
Until 1:30.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Good evening. I'm Terry Fowler, and I live at 212 Miller Way. And I do not hear either one of these, but on Friday nights, Branch Street Deli goes till, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock, and it's like on full blast. So the comment that these two bars are creating, you know, a noise issue, nobody's considered or even commented on that. And all day Saturday afternoon, I hear the band from the farmer's market, and like I said, it does. It travels up the hill. I'm not complaining about any of it, but I just want to bring it to your attention that these are not the only two establishments that are creating a noise issue. I know this bar personally has been in there. It's been in my family. Ralph Hopkins was my uncle when they established that. I don't know if you knew that, but it's been there for, you know, what, 80-something years, and I'm not going to date myself, but I'm a third generation here, and I've never known anybody in the community to complain about those two bars in all these years. So, and like you said, when you have these houses moving in closer, yeah, you're going to have a problem with it, but that's something they bought into and they have to live with. Thank you. And, you know, one other thing. This gentleman didn't identify himself when he started speaking about the noise abatement ordinance.
I don't know whether he works for the city or he's a consultant or who he is.
My name is David Hirsch. I'm the assistant city attorney. I'm with Carmel and Nakasha.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We will close 11B and bring this to the council. We'll start on my other side this time with Councilmember Barnidge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I thought maybe I had a follow-up question. I have a follow-up question. Is that okay? The taxi.
Sure.
Okay. Arlie, can you address the taxi question about...
Yeah, sorry. You just have to come to the mic.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, with the taxi issue, it's... they don't come around as often as we'd like because they can make more money elsewhere.
So they don't cruise down here, but if someone calls, they'll come. It's just that they're not hanging out in the village.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. Sometimes they do if they don't have a prior engagement or if sometimes we do call, sometimes they show up. Sometimes it may be an hour or so if they show up, which kind of leaves our customers out of luck.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, a couple things. The the comments that we received from people in the village, they weren't complaining at all. One woman in particular, actually her husband is in a band, so they weren't complaining at all about the music from... till 6 p.m., like at Branch Street Deli, or even if you have music at Ralph and Duane's, that wasn't the complaint. The complaint was coming from a couple of these people. They were sending us emails at midnight, and they were describing, you know, the music and the yelling and the cars revving their engines. So it we were trying to address not any outside music during sort of normal dinner time hours or after hours. We were trying to address stuff that goes on later, midnight, after 10 o'clock. The comment about houses moving closer, you know, I understand that it's a business district, and I appreciate that. I come down. I've gone to Bill's Place. I like Bill's Place. Haven't been to Ralph and Duane's, though. but the people that live here have a right to have some quiet later in the evening. And some of these houses that have moved closer, they're 100-year-old homes. So they've been here. Those homes have been homes for 100 years or more. So we're trying to get the businesses and the residences to coexist peacefully. And I think that this is a good start. The doors being closed, I understand that it will be hot and stuffy in those bars if you don't have AC. Ralph and Duane's does have AC, or I'm sorry, Bill's does. Maybe there's a smaller portable unit that Ralph and Duane's can use. I don't really know how we can contain the noise unless we keep the door shut. The part that's coming before the council in 2 months is part of the enforcement, and so that the police officers are able to, when they go out and they receive a complaint, instead of measuring the noise with this decibel meter, it's sort of a more of a common sense approach if the doors are shut and it's leaking out. So I'm ready to move forward with this, and if that's the will of the council this evening, thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Costello.
Again, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Go back to exactly what we're looking at today. We're looking at the time period starting at 10 o'clock p.m. The section reads, Section 9.16.072, music or noise after 10 p.m. in commercial districts. And I think we're specifically focusing right now on the enclosed areas, which would be bars, would be two of the ones that are there. This has been driven by noise complaints that have come to the council over the past year. And it reads that no person, entity, or establishment may play, operate, or cause to be played or operated any radio, amplified, or unamplified musical instrument or other amplified or unamplified device or apparatus making and reproducing musical or other sounds in commercial districts between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. when the said sounds emanate from an enclosed structure in such a manner to be plainly audible from adjacent property or the center line of any street right away. So if it is audible nearby, then it says the doors need to be closed. I'd like to find a way for you to stay open and keep your air condition, keep the climate inside reasonable. But I think we're going to have to start with this way. I'd be willing to revisit this in about 3 months and see how it's working out. And I know we can't force you to put in air conditioning. That's probably very expensive, something you might well be cost prohibitive. But at this point, we've got the issue to deal with, and we've got a process that's come forward here with an ordinance. This is one of the two parts, the two prongs. The additional ordinance will come forward, allowing the police department a little bit more flexibility when they respond. But again, this is going to be complaint-driven. So if the noise stays down, if the doors are open and the noise stays down, you're not going to get any complaints. So it's going to be up to you. We're going to have, if this passes tonight, it's going to say the doors need to be closed. So if you're going to have to, you find it's impossible to stay open with that, then you're going to have the doors open. You're going to have to keep the noise down even more than it has been. So that said, like I said, I'll be willing to revisit this in 3 months, see how it's going. But I'll support this tonight, move forward, and let's see how it works, and let's come back and talk about this in 3 months.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
I'll start by saying that, you know, when we first got this complaint, I did actually go down the next night. I know it was a Friday or Saturday night, but it was busy. In fact, Bill's was so busy that I didn't go in there because it was way too busy and was spilling out the front door. I did go down to Ralph and Dwayne's a lot slower, at least when I got there originally. And I will say that your statement here about after 10 o'clock is when it fills up, because it definitely did. By, I'm going to say I was probably there about 10:15. By 10:45, it was packed. I think that might be part of the issue, is that there were maybe too many people there. But I'll also say that the entire time the music was very, very loud inside, but not that loud outside, even with the doors open. I didn't hear it until I got to the front door. I definitely heard it when I got inside. It was, maybe I'm a little old to judge it as reasonable or not, but it was loud. And I did stay because the complaint we had was from midnight, so I did managed to stick it out all the way to midnight and went out the back door and actually had downloaded a dB meter off the internet, a free app. I won't vouch for its accuracy, but I did not find in measuring with my dB, even in the back parking lot, that it was loud that evening. That doesn't mean it's not loud any other time. The comment that people talking, or a motorcycle in particular, is far louder than at least the music that was coming out. I then went down and kind of checked out the dB meter right across the street from Bill's. It didn't exceed any of our dB numbers, but it was pretty loud. And then went back and actually parked up here behind City Hall and measured at the top of the hill there with my dB meter there. And at that point, I didn't find anything to be particularly loud. I will say it was loud, on the street, but I would hardly call it offensive. Again, you're in the business district. But my initial support for this is based on the fact that this doesn't seem like an unreasonable request that you close your doors when your business is operating. And I did that based on partly on when I first moved to this area back in 1991. Some of you may have been around long enough to know that Harry's had a very big noise issue back then in downtown Pismo involving their direct business neighbor. And they went to a lot of trouble to deal with that, with diminishing the sound that escaped the building. And I had thought that part of their deal was that they kept their doors closed. And I did call there today to kind of verify that before I might have accidentally said it tonight and found out that that's actually not the case. They close their doors based on whether they have enough personnel on to handle the doors, not based on the music, which I see it closed most of the time, but I think it's actually not based on the music. So my first inclination here was, why not try this? But I know what often happens with this is that you know, it takes us a long time to really measure it. And I do think that your business could be gone before we change this, before we change this ordinance. My younger days, I may have spent more time in places like this, and I would say that if it was not fun to be there, I wouldn't be back for several years. And so I could see where tonight I'm more inclined to look at taking a less direct approach. This is a great tool for the police department, and you know that it makes it easy for them to enforce. But maybe at this point, I guess I'm inclined to say that even though we've put together what I think is a reasonable ordinance, that we probably should take a little more hands-off approach and see if we can solve this another way first. If we can't, I do think ultimately this is not going to be that kind of an entertainment district that we're going to ever be able to allow to build up into downtown San Luis Obispo or something. It just the residents just aren't going to accept that. Tonight, I'm inclined to push this off for a while and see if we can deal with the issue some other way, because it really didn't seem unreasonable when I was there. That doesn't mean it's not unreasonable some other night, but it certainly wasn't when I was there. And my impression is that it's not most of the time in discussing this with the police department, but it is a time. So can we find a way that we can deal with this rather than this direct ordinance? I think I'm inclined now to take a wait-and-see approach and see if we can solve this another way, because clearly, for instance, my impression that Harry solved this by closing their doors was actually not true, that there are other ways to get this done. So I'm not in support tonight of moving forward, and let's take a longer look at it.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think maybe a little history is in order here. And, you know, when we first started, and I was a recipient of those emails that were the, you know, the time is on each of the emails, and they were coming in from residents around there at 12:30, quarter to 1 in the morning. And so when we first discussed this, I actually consulted with our police chief. And for those of you who don't know the history of our police chief, he came from a resort town where there were a number of bars. And he was the one that indicated to us that the current ordinance that we do have in place is very difficult to enforce, particularly when we look at over-occupancy issues. And there have been occasions where, at least what was described to me, where our officers have come into the village to do a bar check and couldn't even get in the front door. And so those are the kinds of challenges that we have whenever we face enforcement issues. I also had a discussion earlier in the day with Casey in the back. I understand I interrupted his golf game. My apologies for that. But I think some of the statements that you made earlier about the fact that historically, once again, you've not had issues. And I think if that is sort of the tenor of the business, I don't see where this ordinance is going to change that. And at the same time, what it will do is allow for our police officers to respond to these kinds of complaints and perhaps take a bit of a more positive approach in resolving them. And I also think that inherent in this is, and I'm sure that you will do this. Inherent in this is more vigilance on your part. And so I like the idea of taking this step forward so that we can perhaps put our police officers in a much better place when it comes to enforcing some of the noise laws. I'd be interested in seeing what's going to come through in terms of the nuisance abatement. I should indicate to you that noise was not the only issue that was brought to our attention by the police chief. There have been loud vehicles. There have been altercations outside. All of those kinds of things sort of come along with having too many people and too much alcohol late at night or early in the morning. It happens. It's sort of goes with the territory if you own a bar. You can do your best to stop it, but sometimes you can't. So I think all of this points towards increased vigilance. And I think that all of that can occur within the framework of this ordinance. I like the idea that Councilmember Costello had. I think we can monitor this. I think if it needs to be adjusted, it can be done. And I don't see an issue here in terms of detracting from business. So I'm going to support this as well this evening. And once again, I'm not opposed to checking in and perhaps getting some feedback from all of you. Let us know, as I'm sure you will, how this has affected the business, if it has, both positive or negative. And I think we would be in a position to be receptive to that. And if we need to make an adjustment, we will. So that's my comments on this. And with that, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move an ordinance to City Council of City of Royal Grande adding Section 9.16.072 to Chapter 9.16 of the Royal Grande Municipal Code relating to music or noise after 10 p.m. in commercial districts, with the understanding that we will revisit this in 3 months.
All right. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
No.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to item 12, City Council reports. Okay, can we do this after the meeting? Okay, thank you. Okay, City Council reports. Moving on to item 12. Councilmember Costello attended the SLOCOG meeting. Slorda did not meet, I understand, Joe?
No.
Okay. And also South County Sanitation District. I did attend the last meeting, the little blip we had in terms of the discharge. Had straightened itself out. We were well within regulation. Plants running smoothly. And that concludes my report. And Mayor Pro Tem.
We'll start with South County Transit. Really a couple things going on there. One is that in our most recent financial report, I'm really happy to report that we actually made the 20%, something that staff had indicated that we probably would not be making in paying a penalty on it. Doesn't mean that we're going to make it, but things have turned around pretty dramatically from what was just over 15% to actually making the 20% in the next quarter. So I'm happy to report that. I hope it continues. We're also looking at providing an additional service, kind of a commuter route specifically to deliver Royal Grande, Grover, and Grover Beach employees to the really the hospitality industry up in the north end of Pismo a little more quickly and a little more efficiently. Right now, if you were taking the bus to work, if you were a housekeeper or something going up there, one way or the other, that trip is not a good time. You're either on the 15-minute side or the 45-minute side, depending on where you live. So this would provide a service that would reverse direction between morning and evening and provide a much better services experience to see if we can provide what I'll call a local commuter service. And finally, there's talk about whether we would renew the Youth Ride Free program this summer. The YMCA and a couple parents were there about how useful this is, both for YMCA services, but also for youth to learn about riding the bus and some excitement about that. I'd really kind of throw it out there. I'd like to hear from the public more on this. My personal take was that probably we need to look at charging for this service. That was partly based on this need to make 20%, but also what is it about summer youth that we specifically would subsidize versus youth all year long or the high school? And so I'm open to hearing from the public on that or from my other council members. Other than that, South County Transit continues to operate well within budget, and not hurting that the price of gas is going down, but there are really many other efficiencies that we're enjoying there, and it's good service. We did get the report from the EVC. One of the presentations was on the airport. I think Mr. Manchek did a better job of presenting that than I will. I'll just reiterate that they keep returning to this fact that, you know, 50% of our origination trips, if you will, are not made out of our airport, that they're made from some other airport, and how that's a key metric, even though the airplanes may be filling up. When an airline looks at that particular metric and says that half of your people are leaving your area to fly from somewhere else for whatever reason, we all know it's a lot cheaper, that makes it difficult for them to talk about expanding service or trying to then compete with that other airport. We also had a nice report from Pismo on their economic improvement plan that they put together, mostly about the downtown and tourist improvements they're planning. And that's it for EVC. And I don't have any report on the JPIA.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to Councilmember Costello.
Well, I did attend the SLOCOG meeting, and I think the only thing that really sticks out from that meeting was the discussions about the long-term planning for the 101 corridor. Potential projects total somewhere around $600 million, and certainly we're not going to get that kind of funding. So the intent was to provide a focus for the process to go forward. We are in line for the Briscoe interchange. I just hope that we have some positive feedback soon from our consultant on that. APCD did not meet last month. We meet every other month, and we have not met since my last report on that. Five Cities Fire Authority, we have we've selected our candidate for the chief position, offered a contract. I don't know if it's signed yet, but we're in negotiation right now. And that's Steve Lieberman that came out on top of the list. So hopefully that will be signed soon, and we'll have him starting very, very soon. And that's my report tonight.
Okay, very good. Councilmember Brown is not here this evening. We will catch up to him next time. And Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. None of my boards or councils. I had a full report last meeting. I wanted to comment on the free bus for the kids. My kids have never used it before, probably because they've been too young. They did use it once this summer to go to San Luis with their girlfriends after water polo practice. I would have paid for it also, so they thought it was really cool they got to do that, and it was free, so that was nice as well. And then they actually had a mom pick them up in San Luis, so they didn't drive it, or they didn't take it back, so whatever that information you need. That's it. Thank you.
Very good. Moving on to item 13, council communication. Anything? All right. I do have a brief statement, but I'm going to reserve that until after the final community comments and suggestions. Any staff communications?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Our final community comments and suggestions. I saw one speaker slip up here. Did I? Colleen Martin.
Good evening. I'm going to continue where I left off earlier because so many of our citizens do not know what is going on in Aurora Grande, and I wish they would. I wish they would be involved with every aspect of our city. And I encourage them to read the local newspaper who is here, or the news, or online web news such as Calcos News, to hear stories about the city's failure to act on inappropriate behavior of employees. Because the City Council may not meet in closed session regarding the culture of the city, may I recommend you agendize this as an action item to create a plan for how to deal with the collateral damage and fallout from the cover-up and events of July 3rd. I'm begging you, something needs to be done, and it is in your power. The citizens don't have the power here. You guys do. And it's time to just make amends. And let's figure out what to do is right, because what's happening now is more and more business owners are sharing their stories that are not good. And it's scary. And more former employees are coming forward. I came home today to a list of former employees at my door. And it's not my job to talk to these former employees. There was a time when Aurora Grandy was really friendly. I'd come to the city council meetings and Pete Dougal would welcome everyone at the door. There was an agenda on every seat and he shook everyone's hand as we came in. I think there's some really easy things that we could do to be more friendly, okay? One of the things you could do is open up that doorway. They have a little tiny doorway for a big meeting room. It's silly. We could smile. We could greet people. Okay, we could tell the truth. We could say, I'm sorry. We can move on. We're going to have to move on from this. So we need to create a plan to move on from this. So I'm actually asking you tonight to create a plan, an agenda item, a strategic plan on how the city is going to move forward. No matter who's on this council, no matter who's mayor, there's going to need to be a plan in place. Because time's not just going to heal this. We have to be proactive. You're going to have to work with the police department. You're going to have to work with employees and the citizens to make this better. And really, you guys can take the lead of this. You could be the heroes here. We want you to be. I don't know. I don't have the solution. I think that probably the solution's bringing someone in from the outside, just like you are, to hire a new city manager, bring a consultant in, to facilitate, to find out what the problems are, and to create a plan to move forward. And I really am asking you to put this on an agenda to figure out a plan. Election Day is not going to solve all these problems. There's been too much harsh treatment by too many people. Please, please make a plan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That was the last slip that I had, so we'll close public comment, or last community comments and suggestions. I was debating whether I wanted to do this, but after listening to some of the public comments earlier, I think I need to clarify at least something, particularly for the folks who are watching back home. And I wanted to put this up on the overhead, if I could, please. The online website made an issue out of this, and one of our speakers this evening also brought it up. And I wanted to show you a picture of this. And this was the tree that fell across the sidewalk in front of my home. And I was out of town when it happened. And when I did come home, I talked to some of the contractors who were working across the street, and they said they saw it fall. And it had been across the sidewalk, blocking the sidewalk for several hours. So it was late in the afternoon. I think I mentioned when we first discussed our tree ordinance that this was the Friday right before the Harvest Festival, late afternoon. Even though it doesn't look that formidable, I can assure you it was, because I tried to move it myself and could not. So my first inclination was safety hazard, blocking the public right-of-way. So I called Public Works, and the Corporation Yard is 2.5 blocks away from my home. And I wanted to point out to the public, because one of our speakers mentioned this earlier as well, that any member of this community, when a tree or anything else in their yard obstructs the public right-of-way and creates a safety hazard, as this had, this tree was dry, it had lost its leaves. The branches were long, formidable, and sharp. And this is a heavily traveled sidewalk. So my first inclination was to get it off of the public right-of-way. And so the guys came out from Public Works, as they would come to any other citizen who had a tree in this configuration blocking a sidewalk, blocking the public right-of-way. The difference here is that in this particular situation, we had been notified as residents of Berry Gardens that we were now responsible for our street trees. The city was not. So the difference is, had this been a city tree that fell over, there would not have been an invoice. And yes, as the speaker indicated, that invoice was made public to CalCoast website. and it was $196. Three guys came out. They were there for less than 45 minutes. We rounded it up to an hour, and I helped them load the branches when they cut it up. So the difference here is that I had to pay, and the inference being that that $196 was a bargain or cheap or something like that. The city is not in the business of making a profit. The city is in the business of full cost recovery, and that's what it costs the city. So it was a service that I paid for. It's a service that, fortunately or unfortunately, for whatever reason, any resident of Berry Gardens would have to pay if something like this happened. But my main concern was safety hazard and blocking the public right of way. That's why this tree had to be removed, and that's the way it proceeded. I'm pointing this out because, as all of you well know, over the past 2.5 to 3 months, this council, our staff, and me in particular, have been on the receiving end from a number of accusations. Those accusations have bordered, in some cases, on libel. They've been launched from CalCoast, the CalCoast website. They've been promoted on radio, and we have seen manifestations of it at the podium as well. And I suspect that right up until the time of the election next week, they'll probably continue. But through all of this, our council has kept its head up. We've continued to do our job for the community. We've continued to conduct the business of the city. And I'm asking the community right now to take a good look at the city. Many of you spoke tonight about the vitality of the village. Many of you spoke to the economic development that has happened all over the city. It's important to note that even during a severe recession, this council and our staff has managed to steer us through fiscal hardships and balance our budget year after year. We've worked hard to make this city a special place. And nothing, I think, pains us more, and I'm making the assumption on the part of the council, but certainly for me, nothing is more painful than to sit up here and know that you have put your best effort forward to try and steer the ship in the direction that it needs to go, and to have somebody come up to the podium and indicate that they are no longer proud to live in this city. And I can tell you that I am very proud to be a resident of Royal Grande, and I know many of you out there are. So I think whichever way the election turns out for any of us, the first job, as has been indicated, is to work to provide stability within our staff, and that includes all of our departments, and to continue to make this an enjoyable living environment for our community. So once again, I can't tell you how proud I am of our staff. I can't tell you how proud I am of this council. I believe we've done a tremendous job for this city, and I believe everyone is dedicated and motivated to continue to do that. So I want all of you at home who may be watching this to filter through a lot of what you've heard. If you have any questions about what you hear on a website, or read on a website, or hear rumor, whatever the case may be, pick up the phone and call us, and we will talk to you. If you want the rest of the story, all of us are prepared to give it to you. So I'm spending this time with you now because, once again, a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, we've canceled our first meeting in November because of the Veterans Day holiday. So we're not going to meet until the 28th. Is that correct? November 28th. Is it 28th? 25th. It's the 25th. I'm sorry. By that time, I suspect there will be obviously the results of the election, but more importantly, hopefully, the results of the second investigation. So we will be in a position to share more information with you. So once again, I'm hoping that the majority of you in the community will share in the pride that we know is still Arroyo Grande. So that concludes my comments, and with that, we will adjourn the meeting.